Hi, I'm Katrina Daniel, and welcome to Primetime Crime, a podcast for people who want to know what goes on behind the scenes of the most notorious trending crime stories and what's going on in the minds of those involved in those stories. What are the detectives, the judges, the defense attorneys, and the prosecutors thinking? You'll hear it all on Primetime Crime, the podcast. This is Primetime Crime, and I'm Katrina Daniel. This is our Halloween segment, and we're paying tribute to the hauntingly gorgeous photography of Seth Lawless. He's a world-famous photojournalist with a special technique and talent of making perfectly common venues like shopping malls and amusement parks look positively frightening, yet beautiful. If ever you do get up the nerve to go explore those, you'll want to have a cross and holy water with you. It's my distinct pleasure to introduce photojournalist to the hauntingly beautiful Seth Lawless. Seth Lawless, thank you so much for joining us. Your photography can best be described, and I'm sure this is trite, as hauntingly beautiful. It's spectacular. It really makes people think, because you pick the things that society has discarded and you find beauty in them. Talk to me about how you find them and what attracted you to shooting things like abandoned malls, railroad cars in a forest. What attracted you to this?
Sure. Thanks for having me, guys. Well, I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, Rust Belt section of America, for those who are not aware. Booming steel town years ago, auto manufacturer might, similar to Detroit, similar to Gary, Indiana, and Youngstown, Ohio. And over the course of my lifetime, most of those cities have dwindled and by population loss, outsourcing of American manufacturing jobs, globalization over the years. So they went from being the largest cities in America, you know, 50 years ago,
right,
to being one of the, you know, some of the smallest cities population-wise. And so, you know, over that course of my entire life, I just would be playing outside. In any given moment, I could look around 360 degrees around me, and there would be apocalyptic landscapes of, you know, abandoned factories and schools and neighborhoods and malls and amusement parks. And as a kid, I would just explore. I skateboarded early on when I was a kid, and we would skateboard in there with friends, and we would just kind of mess around. And it wasn't until a little bit later on where I really saw beauty to it. And I wanted to go a little deeper in than just looking at it from a distance. So I started going inside, taking pictures and images with the sole purpose of sharing it. I thought what I was, you know, witnessing and the showing a very vulnerable side of America that most people weren't really aware of, depending on where you were in this world. So I started sharing them on Instagram. Would be one of my earliest apps in 2011, 2012. And it really took off. It was promoted by the Instagram app back then in a much different way than it is now, the algorithms. So my images were reaching a global stage, and the response to those images were strong. Everyone, you know, different parts of the world could not believe they were looking at images of America. So I knew what I was taking and showing was poignant. And so it left a lot of questions for me. I wanted to know why these areas were abandoned. Were there still Americans living amongst these ruins, which I found out too. So there was always this fascination to know more, this kind of this untold chapter of American history, if you will.
And have you found people living in those abandoned areas? And what's life like, let's say, in a shopping mall in central Ohio that no longer has an active store in it? What's there?
Yeah, that's many of these places that appear to be completely abandoned, especially many in my photographs and viral images over the years, have plenty of people living amongst them or nearby these places, which have really offered me some context over the years of how things happened, how things once were, you know, how that particular space operated in the time of its operation in terms of factories and stores and malls like that. So people would share with me very personal testimonies of experiences they shared with these places. And so going into abandoned malls, especially the malls in Ohio, there's three notable of my images of abandoned malls over the year. Ironically, all three are now Amazon fulfillment centers that are actually shipping out my abandoned mall book. So the irony there is just phenomenal. But being in some of the malls as they were dying, there's a particular one that I think you're referring to where there's literally one mall left in the entire mall. It's in Cincinnati, Ohio. It's in my latest book, Abandoned Malls of America, Crumbling Commerce Left Behind. And it's surreal to be in a mall like that. It's literally hanging on by a thread. Now, most of the malls that I've been into were through and through abandoned. They look like something straight out of a horror movie, and there's nobody left inside at all. Those are my favorite to shoot. The lighting from the skylights offer a unique perspective.
Yeah,
I'm always completely by myself. And to me, they're really beautiful to shoot abandoned malls.
It's kind of like several episodes of Stranger Things, which I became addicted to like a year ago.
It's a great show.
What kind of feelings does this generate in you? When I see something that's abandoned like that, I get an overwhelming feeling of sadness. I'm sorry it's dead. I'm sorry people are no longer employed there. And it just becomes kind of bleak for me. What about you? How do you react?
Yeah, definitely. And very sadness would be the first maybe word to come to mind, especially places that I've shot that I visited as a kid. Let's say a Six Flags amusement park that I would go to every summer that I would find myself as an adult trekking through completely abandoned. Or the malls. You know, I grew up with these shopping malls. I'm old enough to realize that. These were malls were the gigantic chat rooms before the internet ever existed.
Yeah.
And we have communal spaces. What arguably one of the largest communal spaces for Americans to go to and talk and walk around. And so those things are missed by me. And it's sad to walk through those areas and actually getting flashbacks of remembering the places operable and people in them, filling and hearing the sounds of the falling water and the malls, you know, and all of that, the smells of the food and all of those things have gone kind of by the wayside today.
Do you ever get scared? Like, ew, this is really spooky. I think I want to leave now.
Yeah, there's been plenty of times where I was very scared and I'm a paranormal skeptic in a sense to where if someone says, oh, you know, this place is haunted or this is notable, there was a murder here or something, I was usually the first to go in and try to debunk it, right? Because I'm a skeptic, right? I want to go in and find the reason of why some things are happening. So over the years, I've caught things on tape. For instance, just off the top of my head, I remember shooting up in Detroit, this really cool, iconic abandoned theater that was abandoned for years. And I shot it in such a big place and sprawling. And I remember getting home, it was so dark and I was lightening the images and way up in the top where the projection room would have sat at some point. I look up and in the images, I could see someone there, a black figure, a shadow figure. And I've shared this on my Instagram, Laura, on my feed. And I remember going up in that room and no one was there. And there's no way to get down from there except if you literally came down. Could it have been someone just watching me? It's possible. And I just missed it like a real human being. But just when I'm editing images, some things appear that go, wow, it really scares me. Even after the fact, I'll come home from that state and start to edit my pictures. And then other times I'm walking into places. This abandoned church, once I walked in and there was animals sacrificed, blood all over the place, a big pentagram in the middle of the floor. There was another nursing home that I went into where I actually came out panicking. I actually called the police and waited for them to arrive and go in. Yeah, I walked into what appeared to be a real life crime scene. And that's what I don't think people really realize in my line of work, going into abandoned structures. There's a lot of horrible things that happen in these places. It's a land, no pun intended, of lawlessness when you're at these places where, you know, I'm alone inside this abandoned place that might be, you know, miles around anybody. And so you have criminals and derelicts that go into these buildings and do sometimes horrible things, walking in and finding rooms that appear to be set up to torture people.
Really?
Yes.
And what kind of place did you find that?
It was part of an old church where, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the old Catholic churches where, you know, we'd have where the priest and would it was that part of the church, like behind it. And so it was really weird to me. And there was things written on the wall. There appeared to be chairs where people were taped in or tied. Yeah, it was horrible. It jolted me. I still get chills thinking about that. And bear in mind, I'm from Cleveland, obviously, where I grew up. And in 2012, 2013, in a little suburb of Cleveland is East Cleveland. East Cleveland is an actual, it's its own little, you know, city, 19,000 people, not very big. But over the course of when I was shooting abandoned houses over there, two separate serial killers, Michael Solwell and Michael Madison, were, you know, raping and torturing and murdering their victims through some abandoned properties in East Cleveland. And I was in these same homes as they were doing it, around the same time as they were doing it, either right before or after. And just the feeling of that is just, yeah, I still get nightmares thinking about that. I don't fear ghosts so much and paranormal
as
so
real
much
people.
As real people. Yeah, that is true. In my line of work over the years, I've seen some pretty violent and weird things inside abandoned places, for sure.
How do the cops treat you when you call them up and say, look, I have found traces of sacrifice, I have found interesting things? How do they treat you? Do they take you seriously? Do they come and take a look?
They come and take a look, and I'm usually real kind of, I usually wait till they arrive when that has happened too. I never just call and leave. I want them to interview me, let them, first off, I want to know that, hey, I've been there. I went in, this is what I was doing. I document this. And usually they know, once they know who I am and what I do, first off, you know, trespassing and being charged with trespass is such a small part of what I do. It's happened over the years, but most of the time, either they just don't look at it that way. They appreciate me, you know, showing them this stuff, because generally speaking, police don't go into these places.
Right.
And
not
so
unless
that,
they have a specific reason.
Unless they have a specific reason to go in. Right. And there's danger of going into these places as well, you know, falling through floors, things falling on you. So there's always this danger involved. But no, I think they're very appreciative when I do reach out to them in those instances where I find something crazy or unique or something that might lead to something. A pool of blood, for instance, in a school in Youngstown, in the corner of the room, nothing there, but a pool of blood. It looked as though, I don't even know, a lot of blood. So with nothing leading out.
Can you tell if it's blood right away?
Well, because I've smelled human blood before like that. So the scent is a dead giveaway, unfortunately, for me. I've smelled that. Now, I don't know if I'm good to smell if it's animal blood or human, but I know it's some kind of living animal blood. So that I could kind of understand right away. Mm. And usually I go by myself for that reason of feeling safer. And people go, wow, you're crazy going into these abandoned places alone. But to me, I feel way more safe because if I'm walking through and I'm tiptoeing in, and a lot of these times they sprinkle glass on stairs and stuff. So if someone's in there, they can hear you. So I'm really good at navigating through that. And I've learned that over the years. So if someone's inside there, there's usually tells for me to where I can understand. There's little clues. So if I'm going in there, I want to be alone, because if I hear something, I know that's not me or anyone I'm with. So I usually am by myself when I go into these places.
A, that's pretty brave. B, do you ever worry about being attacked physically by someone that, you know, may not like your invasion of their space?
Yeah, unfortunately, I have over the years. And as I've done this, I've learned early on that these places, sometimes when you go into an abandoned hotel that's, you know, 60 floors up, or abandoned homes, you have homeless people that have made them their home.
Yeah.
And you don't realize it, that you're actually walking into their home, and how awkward that feeling is for me. And it is. So I try to be very respectful of that over the years. You're dealing with some mental illness sometimes. Yeah. There's times where I have been attacked. Luckily, it has never resulted in any kind of serious injury. Not that it wasn't incredibly scary, but my job and my goal, obviously, is not to go into someone's home, whether they're homeless or not. But my job is to kind of document things. And I'm really respectful. I don't touch anything, and I kind of steer clear if I see that. But it's very common in my line of work to come across people living in these abandoned structures. It's very sad. It adds to the melancholy of my work.
Do you ever take like a good luck talisman or a weapon with you for protection?
I have over the years, but it's not something I generally do because I travel. So I cross interstate. Yeah, that's not something. I don't want to do anything illegal besides trespassing in my view. And I try not to even do that. And but a bit more legitimate now. I can get, you know, authorization sometimes, or I can get permission. And if I can, I do. So I try to be as safe as I can now.
What is your most memorable locale?
I think undoubtedly is when I was the only person ever to film and document it, to witness anything like this, was I was inside an abandoned mall. All the skylights were busted out. from vandalism over the years or whatever. And it was a blizzard and it was snowing inside and it created this surreal scene of a winter wonderland. And it was beautiful to me. I loved it so much. I spent hours inside and I felt like a kid in a mall and I was looking for Santa Claus, you know. It was really, really beautiful and really, really surreal to be inside a place just literally filled with snow. I'm walking up the escalators and feet of snow. It just falling down on me. I don't know. It felt seriously like something out of this world. It was so surreal.
That's very cool. Tell me about, did one of your books, was it just recently released?
Yes, it was. It was Abandoned Malls of America, Crumbling Commerce Left Behind. All of my books are available, Target, Walmart, bookstores, Amazon, of course. But yeah, that was my latest book released.
And how has it been received?
Real well. It's 26 abandoned malls across the country. And there's very little writing by me. There's some of my Huffington Post articles kind of juiced in there. But it's a lot of celebrities and musicians that follow me on Instagram and stuff, from Ronan Farrow to Ivan Nicole Brown. And I asked all of them who are fans of my work to write me little essays for the book. So it's really cool. The book is sharing my images and it's sharing these little essays from, you know, these celebrities that are sharing their experiences and how shopping malls meant to them growing up. So it's pretty cool.
Wouldn't there be some way that giant mall developers could use your work? In Greenville, South Carolina, where I currently live, they took McAllister Square and made it the Upstate University Center.
Oh, wow.
So for kids who could not afford to go away to Furman, to University of South Carolina or Wofford or Converse or any of those schools, they all have departments in this huge empty shopping mall. And so kids who didn't have the money to go away to college can go there. Isn't that cool?
That's fantastic. The only time where I've seen any of my spaces used, well, like I get hired as like a location scout for Hollywood or something, right? So that will use abandoned mall for a movie. And that's happened to me quite a bit. Avengers, Superman. It's happened several times over the years where they actually, the director, like for instance, I'll give you a perfect example, Batman versus Superman. They saw an image of mine at this abandoned mansion and they said, you know what, that's going to be Batman's mansion. Sure enough, they reached out to me. I took them to the location. They did the whole build out. So that happens often enough, which really helps the areas and the cities, because when the movies do that, they have to leave the location the same or better than the position when they use that property. Generally speaking, they leave it in much better shape where they'll clean it up. It looks nice, presentable. And it could, at that point, it could really help out these areas that are hurting economically.
All right. You are an activist. Tell me what your passion is.
Well, early on, you got to go back a ways here to very much an anti-war activist and started 20 years ago. You know, before we entered the war with Iraq, I was, and it wasn't a popular time, maybe if you guys remember that or not. But I was against the war before we actually even went into war. But then over the years, and then that kind of coincided a little bit with what I was doing early on and sharing the images of showing, in my opinion, a vulnerable, more accurate side of America to the entire world. Now, early on, that wasn't really well perceived by Americans. It eventually was, but I was kind of attacked early on, right? From some people say, oh, you're showing our country is vulnerable and weak. How dare you? You're somehow, you must be un-American, which I love this country to death. And then other times where I really wanted people to see so we could correct these. You know, I don't think the problems we face as a country will change unless we literally face them. And I thought looking at them might be a start. And, you know, people look at these places as a blight. They look at it as a, you know, they don't want to look at it. They want it torn down. They don't want to learn about the history. They don't want to appreciate the architecture. They don't want to appreciate what they mean to the communities at any given point. And they definitely don't want to repurpose these areas time and time again. So to me, it's just such a wasteful thing to do. And I think that waste is something I like to try to bring awareness to as well, trying to not be so wasteful as a society.
Agreed. I completely agree with you. Tell me where people can find your work in all the different venues.
The best places is you can look for all my verified platforms on Twitter, Instagram, Seph Lawless, my website, Seph Lawless, S-E-P-H, lawless.com. And just again, Facebook, look for that verified blue check mark, and that's going to be me. And I share things pretty regularly and going to be traveling here more in parts of Europe and bringing you guys some really exciting stuff. I can't wait to share with you guys.
It's fascinating, and I can't wait to see everything that you're going to share with us soon.
Fantastic.
Carmen is especially interested in your promotion of your books. I think she's got something she wants to work with that. So sure. Give us a couple of lines about the books.
Sure. Abandoned Malls of America, Crumbling Commerce Left Behind, 26 abandoned malls across the country from coast to coast, from north to south. So you get a really good embodiment of abandoned malls. There's no book like this. It's the first book of its kind to showcase this many malls in one published book. My book that came out before that, Abandoned, the world's most hauntingly beautiful abandoned theme parks, are great as well. You got some great abandoned amusement parks all over the country in the United States. All of them are in the United States. There's a few in Europe, but they're all great. I shot them all during thunderstorms, which was really challenging. It took about 5 years to make, to get all of that. I went back to several abandoned amusement parks because I had to get back there while it was raining or while it was storming. Got caught in a tornado in Kansas filming Joyland for that book. But then my first book, Autopsy of America, The Death of a Nation, that's a little bit more of a better depiction of my work in general, of everything from abandoned homes to abandoned ghost towns to malls, stadiums, all of that stuff, all in one big book.
Congratulations on all of your success.
And thank you so much
for spending this with us. It's really kind of you.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure having you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Primetime Crime, the podcast. Follow us on Facebook at Primetime Crime and on Instagram and Twitter at PrimetimeCrime_. Post your comments and tell us what true crime stories you'd like to hear about. Subscribe to Primetime Crime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. Thanks a lot.